Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
And welcome to Hagman. It is the Hagman Report for today, Wednesday, November 30th, 2022. I want to thank you for joining me. Thank you for your belief, trust in this platform. Please, please do me a favor. I ask you to do this. Please subscribe to our channel on Rumble. Subscribe to our channel on Brighteon. And if you think this is worthy, the information is valuable enough to pass along on your social media feed, if you have any, because I am on, yes, Gab, Truth Social, Getter, okay, just to name three, not on Twitter, but those three I'm on. What am I forgetting? There's another one, Eric the Tech. I'm not sure. I know. Anyway, those three for sure. Also, I want to thank you for praying for Eric the Tech's dad. Just an update. He's out of surgery. And I ask that you pray for his swift recovery. He, record time. I mean, I'll tell you what. Wow. Good stuff, and I'm very thankful. I'm very happy that his surgery was a success, and now it's just a matter of recovery. All right, so a lot of information to get into today. I mean, just a lot. The push for this globalist utopia is really what we've been talking about, haven't we? The globalists, controlled by a very, very small number of individuals that control major corporations, that control major institutions that are infested, that have infested our government here in the United States and throughout the West. What is their objective here? I was talking with my wife last night. Because I don't watch, I mean, I'll skim the mainstream media to see what they're talking about. And I find it very interesting that what they talk about is not what we talk about. And it's interesting only to the extent that it's deliberate. All right. Now, as myself, as an investigator for the last 35, 6, 7, I don't know, however many years. 37 years, I guess. I tend to look at things differently than most people, or a lot of people, not most people, but a lot of people. I tend to look at patterns, people's behaviors, trends. By the way, happy belated birthday, Gerald Celente. Happy belated birthday to Gerald Celente. I think it was yesterday or the day before. My apologies. Trends Journal, always a good. He was on a couple of weeks ago. Always a great guest, but nonetheless, happy belated to him. But I look at these and you know, it's amazing to me to see the gaslighting, which happens to be Merriam-Webster's word of the year. The gaslighting that's taking place here in American history, or in America and throughout the West, gaslighting of people. I go back to the earlier part of this century. We can go back to 1776, but I go back to the earlier part of this century and consider, and I'm using notes here, so you forgive me if you know, I'm looking down and not looking at the camera, but considering the first 4 years of Roosevelt, FDR's New Deal, consider that taxes were increased, government spending reached heights never before seen in U.S. history, and the federal budget bled red with just incredible deficits. Now, what are we seeing today? We're seeing the same thing happen today that we saw back in FDR time, right? Now, I'm talking about the United States here, but this is for the entire West, because what is taking place right now, as we can see with the uprisings in China, I'm going to be getting into that here momentarily. This is so critically important period of history. I thank God that I was born in this period of time, although I think I probably should have been born back in the earlier days. But because that's, you know, my moral fiber, I believe I can relate better to the old, yeah, Eric the Tech over there, relating to the old, school. But when you look back at FDR, okay, again, I'm going to get back to this because I want to stay on track here. In June 1933, Congress passed the National Industrial Recovery Act, NIRA, after which Roosevelt created the National Recovery Administration, the NRA, okay? It forced virtually all American industry, manufacturing, and retail business into cartels, possessing the power to set prices, to set wages. The government really forced itself into the private sector to dictate levels of production. Citizen committees were formed to spy on local merchants and reports if they dared to sell at lower prices. Now, this is actually happening today. Now, spying about lower prices and such, no, not so much, but the same template is being used. Now, remember, folks, that the FDR platform, the New Deal platform, excuse me while I take care of some, my earpiece flew out there. Okay. The template is the same today as it was back then and as it always will be, because I believe the left run by or the left, the satanic left, they, in my view, in my estimation, they've got no imagination. They're all... It's the same thing today as it was yesterday, as it will be tomorrow. The same methods, except perhaps now we're seeing in this fourth turning, we're seeing a more satanic. It's beyond normal now. Now they're kind of going all out, pulling out all the stops and changing us into this submissive one world population. And I'm talking to you because I believe this is important, because we're right now at a crossroads. I can sit here and go headline after headline after headline after headline and say, this is taking place and that's taking place. And I do many times, but what the hell are we going to do about it? My question to you is, we can talk all day long. What are we going to do about it? What happened back in the 30s? Well, people submitted to this influx of government into free enterprise. And I'll just say this, the writings of Karl Marx, especially back then, they gave rise, and this is important historically to understand today's events, they gave rise to the Social Democratic Party of America, which was established in 1897. In the event you haven't heard of this guy, Eugene V. Debs. Perhaps some of you only know him from an episode of Family Ties back in the 80s, but I digress. But Eugene V. Debs was this labor organizer. And together with Morris Hillquit, a Jewish immigrant, they formed the Socialist Democratic Party of America. The party at the time was small, but Debs, this national figure, garnered this incredible support with labor unions. Now think about the environment today with the labor unions. Think about, too, how unions are dictating certain things. Think about the rail strike. Just think about the rail strike. Now, I mentioned that, or the rail strike, the potential rail shutdown. And in no way am I backing Biden on this, but just think about that. Again, we're looking at things that are, in fact, we've seen this before. Debs became a presidential candidate in 1912. He traveled more than 30,000 miles on a train aptly named the Red Special. And he gave these great speeches. He was a great orator to more than 500,000 people. Now think back of the population of the United States. That's 500,000 people. Okay, whatever. He ended up, and this is in 1912, and think about this, please. Debs in 1912 ended up with more than 900,000 votes. And the Socialist Party here, right here in the United States in 1912, they pulled double digits in a half a dozen states. The Socialists now had, at that time, 1912. Oh, thank you, Eric the Tech, Wikipedia, that sewage pit, but nonetheless, they're accurate here. Eric the Tech right on target. There's Eugene V. Debs. 1,200 elected officials. The Socialists had 1,200 elected officials, including two congressmen in office in 1912. By 1914, it boasted 125,000 members, which included the leaders of mine workers, brewery workers, carpenters, and iron workers. Debs and his fellow socialists were enthralled by the events in Russia and expected a similar uprising of workers to take place here in the United States, the Day of the People. It's one of Debs' writings. Now, I'm not going to obviously read that, but it's very pro-communist. Now, here's where the turn kind of was made. Bolshevism in America was far from extinct. Okay, again, you got to go back in time to the early 20th century. The Comintern in Moscow continued to spearhead the labor unions, gave rise to the Congress of Industrial Organizations here, which represented the Federation of United Mine Workers and nine other unions. It infiltrated into some of the worst places in America, some of the ghettos in America, the inner cities. It gave rise to the National Negro Congress and prompted social activism on American college campuses by creating the National or the American Student Union. Now, why am I saying all of this? Who cares? I mean, it's like, do I really need to know this? I just want to know what's going on today. Well, this is the infrastructure here in the United States, at least that began in the 20th century. And again, I could go back a lot further, but I want to touch on this because the Communist Party of the United States, the CPUS, and the Socialist Democratic Party of America, they became allies at some point. By 1936, the leaders of these organizations became friends, allies. And they pledged their loyalty to FDR, all right, and the New Deal. Now, hold that thought. If you throw in a few words there, the Green New Deal, or climate change, or vax passports, or digital ID, okay, you've got to understand where these people are coming from, these 300, 400, 500 people that think they control the planet. They're pushing for this, we have to serve the collective, or the collective must be served over the individual. That's a philosophy, okay? That is a philosophy. And that mirrors FDR's socialist policies. Now, I'm going to stop there because you can really spend, well, there should be courses. I don't know if there are courses, college courses that teach this. If not, there should be. But this is where, in the 20th century, this, what we see today in Congress, the Democratic Socialist Party in Congress, they're communists. All of these people are communists. The infiltration are communists. Okay. What I'm getting at is, excuse me, what I'm getting at is where we are headed, where we are now, where we are headed, and how the mechanisms by which you and I, they expect to subjugate you and I. Now, I'm going to say this, and I mean this. Y'all better have your AR-15s or your AKs or your whatever your preference might be off the shelf, out of the safe, shined up or cleaned up and ammo ready to go. Now, why do I say that? Because they, I'm talking about the socialist communists in power today, are pushing us. They will force us to defend ourselves. That's where we are today. Please understand what I'm saying. It pains me to say this. I don't believe that America can survive intact a civil war, a war amongst each other. I don't believe it can, at least not without some extreme scars and permanent impairment if we fought it today. So I'm not in favor of violence, but violence is coming to your doorstep. If you would ask, if you would go in the street, and again, the reason I say this is look at the Communist Chinese Party. Look at what's happening over there. Do you know who the greatest mass murderer of the 20th century was, is? Anyone? No. Not Hitler. No, not Stalin. It was Chairman Mao, Mao Zedong. You know, Chairman Mao's little red book. Okay, so that's Chairman Mao. The Black Book on Communism. An estimated 65, now according to this Black Book on Communism, an estimated 65 million Chinese died as a result of Mao's repeated merciless attempts to create a new socialist China. What is happening here in China with Xi Jinping and the lockdowns? It's really the same thing. Anyone at the time with Mao who got in his way from developing this communist utopia in China was done away with by execution, imprisonment, or forced famine. What are we seeing today with forced famines? We're seeing people locked up, and excuse me again, I'm getting used to some new earbuds and earpieces, and I appreciate the fact that you're watching me get dressed here. Hair and makeup failed me again today, right? Of course, you look at me and you say they fail you every day. But what is taking place today is it mirrors what Mao Zedong did back in the early 20th century. This is why it's important to know your history. The communists I spoke of earlier, you know, the Debs followers, the movement created in part by Eugene V. Debs and really propelled by FDR. This is the same, they're adherent to the CCP policies and procedures and now tactics. And we're seeing this with Canada. We're seeing this with other Western nations, New Zealand, Australia. I've got listeners in Australia. I've got listeners in all of Europe or in Europe. So what we're seeing now is this adherence to this communist utopian philosophy as outlined by the Communist Chinese Party. There was a, folks, I don't know if you saw this, there was a video floating around as a meme of Trudeau complimenting communist China. There was also at the beginning of, I think it was yesterday's show or the day before on InfoWars, Alex Jones did a great job showing Klaus Schwab, again, complimenting China. Here in America, again, thanks to the groundwork laid in the early 20th century, you've got virtually no one talking about the Chinese influence, the communist Chinese influence in our Senate, in our House of Representatives. Yeah, you've got no one really caring about the pillow talk between Fang Fang Bang Bang with Swallowswell. You've got none of that, or the fact that Mark Zuckerberg with Priscilla Chan, you know, are spending $500,000 to corrupt our voting system. You've got none of that discussion. You can't talk about that. And if you do, you get punished for that. Well, again, that's the groundwork for what's coming. I want to show you something here. The assaults by the satanic communists. You can't really be a communist. I don't believe. This is my personal belief. This is my personal opinion. But in my research, in order to be a communist, you've got to be really a Satanist. Okay? You've got to be very demonic. You really even can't be an atheist. I suppose you could be if you squint and tilt your head, but that's a little bit, you know, that's not, to me, that's not exactly 100% accurate. You're more of a Satanist than you are anything else. But today, this week, what did we see this week? We saw, and I referenced this before, the Democratic-controlled Senate passing the same-sex marriage bill with the support of 12 Republicans. And there it is on your screen. Thank you again, Eric the Tech. This is reported, I believe, by the Daily Wire. And I call this, are you ready for this? I'm going to make Steve Quayle proud of me. This is a weapon of mass asexualization, if you think about this. Why was this passed? Has anyone asked why was this passed when, in fact, it's already settled law in the words of the left? Settled law, Obergefell, same-sex marriage. Wait a second. If Obergefell passed, same-sex marriage is okay. Why was this passed? Well, I'm going to tell you why this was passed. Yeah, I will. Hang on. I'll tell you why it was passed. Because this was passed to make sure that the Christians in the United States, who believe in the sanctity of the marriage between a husband and a wife, the business owners who say, look, marriage as defined by the Bible, I believe in that. End of story. This is my store. I can choose to serve who I want. And churches who are under the umbrella of the 501c3 tax haven, they're coming after you. On November 8th, parents all over our country were voting out school board members who were either just too damn evil or too gullible to protect children against the left's perverse and pervasive sexualization. You know, the garbage books they have and the stuff that's been taking place within our school system. A week later, 12 maggot Republican senators voted for legislation that would unleash the power of the federal government against them, the moms, the mama bears, and the dads out there who are saying, no, 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 no. You don't teach my children about these deviant practices. Mitt Romney, Mittens of Utah, Murkowski of Alaska, Collins of Maine, you know, the usual suspects here. And there were a few that actually blindsided their constituents because some people actually believed that they would vote on the side of sanity. Well, you know, you look at Wyoming's junior senator, Cynthia Lummis. Even the never-Trumper Senator Minority Leader Mitch McConnell, Wyoming's Senator John Barrasso, they voted against bringing the outrageously named Respect for Marriage Act to the floor. They knew, they know gaslighting when they see it. But I mentioned Wyoming's junior senator. How did she miss the memo? Was she not warned? Well, she was. It was on July 26th, a week after disgraced Republican, I say that, okay, whatever, Liz Cheney, after she joined with 220 Democrats to pass an act to repeal the Defense of Marriage Act, H.R. 8404. You know what? I'm not even going to get into this because it takes us down too many dark alleys. This act will tie federal law to some of the most unhinged states in the union. The laws of some of the most unhinged laws of the most unhinged states in the union. Whatever a state says marriage is, however a state defines marriage, for example, the federal government would be obliged to act as though it were a sane definition. So if California says marriage can also include you marrying your pet llama. This act would permit that. Okay, obviously there'd be some hoops to jump through, but you get the idea. How about temporary marriages? Certainly. How about incestuous marriages? Let me think. Check. How about polygamy? Yep. That's what this act allows. The states to decide to the extent of the insanity. And this H.R. 8404 effectively deputizes activist groups to sue religious individuals, organizations, and businesses according to the letter. So if your speech does not sufficiently conform to the newest definitions of marriage, expect to be bankrupted by legal fees. Again, I've often said that the process is the punishment. Now, what does this all have to do with when I start out with respect to the early 20th century? The groundwork was laid. The template is the same today as it was then. In the Chinese, the most intolerant of them all are laughing at the United States, while the uneducated people, many of them, the uninformed people of the United States, because the media covers for the people, the spies, the infiltrators, think this is a good idea. This also gives enforcement power to the criminally partisan and politicized Department of Justice. You think it was partisan before? You wait until this emotional subject comes up again. This is what we're looking at with this act. Dem-controlled Senate passing the same sex marriage bill. Again, ask yourself why. If we had the Obergefell decision by the Supreme Court, why this had to be codified federally? Because this becomes a weapon against those who believe in the biblical account of marriage between a man and a woman. It is a weapon of asexualization because, you know, two guys can get married, females can get married, a guy or a female can marry a cow, a goat, a pig, whatever. But now this is codified into law, into federal law. And you better pay attention to this, because the next thing that's going to happen is when that church pastor gets up and says, I'm not going to allow any ceremony. I'm not going to officiate a ceremony between a guy and the cow, or a guy and another guy. We are a faith-based. We've got. Look at our charter. Look at our statement of belief. We can't do this. You watch how fast one or more of those 87,000 IRS agents are going to come down on that church. But even worse, you watch how fast the Department of Justice will arrest that pastor. Oh, and you want to put it up on social media? You watch what happens to you. To the point of potential arrest for harassment or some inchoate crime related to this. This is one of the most important, horrific measures passed in 2022 and probably for the last 5-6 years. This has nothing to do with respecting anything. This is a weapon of mass asexualization. And I'm telling you right now, this relate. And why do I use that word asexualization? If you think, who is the God of the Satanists? Their God, Satanist God. Satan, of course, but how's that represented? As an asexual being, right? Now, what about ways to get to where the people need to be not just compliant, but, you know, if they're problematic, they need to be killed or imprisoned. If they're problematic, they need to be made an example of. Have we seen any of that happen? Of course, we're seeing that happen in China right now over the vax passports, which is part of this as well, over the jabs that people are getting. They don't work. They're toxic. They change your DNA. And isn't this all part of God's creation? We as God's creation. If you think about this, and really think hard about this. Seriously, tonight, when you're not doing anything, or today when you're driving or whatever, if you've got some windshield time, I want you to think about this. Why the big push all of a sudden for, not all of a sudden, but over the past couple of years since COVID, why the big push for the jabs? And we've talked about this. But let's go deep. There's a couple of different sides to this. To me, there's the physical side, but there's also the spiritual side, because I don't think you can extricate one from the other. But think about this. The MRA shot, the mRNA jabs, changing, having the ability to change the DNA of God's creation, like the days of Noah. Again, I want you to think really hard about this. It changes who we are. It changes, it not only changes us physically, but it changes us spiritually. Well, how does it do that? Well, I believe, and this is what I believe based on, again, a larger picture here, I believe that this injection, by messing with the DNA of God's creation, if in the time of Noah, the DNA was corrupted by fallen angels and God flooded the world, what's happening now? What's happening now? What's the corruption of our DNA? There's a spiritual component to that. Because otherwise you would not have such a visceral policy mandating these injections. And you may say, well, that's kind of, here in the West, we've backed off that. But what's taking place in China? I'm going to show you this. This is video one in the show notes. By the way, go to HagmanReport.com and make sure in the show notes you watch all of the videos. I have them sourced I have them sourced properly, cited properly. In China, if you can't prove, or if you leave your phone home or whatever, I mean, if for some reason they don't believe that you have gotten the injection in China, or can't prove it, they're not going to let you in to a restaurant. They're not going to let you do banking. They're not going to, they won't let you into a hospital. Here's one lady, and this is on Jack Posobiec's timeline. This is video one, who was pregnant and she's waiting to get into the hospital. They won't let her in because she does not, she can't prove her state of vaccination, as they call it. And watch what happens here. Go ahead. Well, that was easy, right? I mean, for radio listeners, that was a video of a woman standing outside of a hospital in China giving birth to a healthy baby. Thank you, God, for that. And people around, and you can translate that. That was a tweet on Jack Posobiec's timeline, and you can translate the tweet. There were people that helped, and according to the translated part of it, the baby was healthy, the mom was fine, but the fact that they would not let her in the hospital should speak volumes. That's a Google translation. Now, Jack knows Mandarin, he knows Chinese, and I'm sure that's a very clunky translation, but there it is. But see, when you and I speak about this, because again, it all goes back to, if you think back at the early 20th century, we did not have this level of technology. That's why I mentioned Eugene V. Debs using his red train to go cross country, crowds and speaking, and you know, that was their tools at the time. Now we've got different tools. Now you got smartphones, you've got QR codes, you've got this and that. But if you talk about it, for example, you're considered crazy. If you talk about the lack of efficacy, the safety and efficiency of the jabs, you in many circles, and especially your own doctor, I'm sure, right? Maybe, or your old doctor, or maybe your neighbor, your family. And how many families have been destroyed over this very subject? You can't come over to my house unless you're injected. You know what I think? Here's what I think. I think the first one was kind of a, okay, you get the first one, and that sets the stage. And each successive one, it's almost like a drug where people, it affects their minds. Follow me on this. I've got no scientific backing on this. I've got no proof. I'm just kind of, again, this kind of came to me in the middle of the night thinking about this. Maybe jab two changes you mentally a little bit, your DNA, and maybe even the structure, brain structure, how you think, and starts eroding the God part of your brain, but also in addition to that, makes you somewhat, I don't want to say dependent upon, but makes you more agreeable for additional injections, which is, could explain why, and maybe I'm wrong, but it could explain why. Hey, I'm on number five, can't wait for six, and I'm taking my kids there for, you know what I'm saying? But I digress. But what can, but see, this is worldwide too. So Canada, this is video two now in the show notes. Their psychiatric association is targeting anyone who talks against getting these jabs in the face of evidence now coming out that they don't work. As a matter of fact, not only don't they work, there is enough. So there's sufficient prima facie evidence to say, look, not only don't they work, they could kill you. depending on your age and some other conditions, they could kill you. But again, go back to Merriam-Webster's word of the year, gaslighting. We're all being gaslit by the media. Watch this segment. This is video two. This is of the Canadian Psychiatric Association targeting anti-vaxxers, as they call them. Watch this.
The Canadian government in British Columbia is trying to pass legislation that will recreate how oversight bodies regulate healthcare and alternative medicine. Certain details of this legislation are undisclosed and will remain so until the government passes it into law. But what we do know about Bill C-36 is bad enough. This bill gives the government of British Columbia the power to mandate vaccines for any illness the government so chooses. It gives the government the power to censor anyone who challenges their narrative on anything, allowing the government power to seize an individual's property, fine them for up to $200,000, and throw them in jail. It creates a system of classification wherein the government decides who has good character and who doesn't. It redefines the meaning of informed consent. And while it has not been made official yet, the Canadian Psychiatric Association is now targeting everyone who refuses the dangerous mystery vaccines, labeling them as mentally insane, an age-old tactic of tyrants. Throw the dissidents into mental asylums and medicate them.
And you've talked about how even they recommend, you know, perhaps psychiatric medication or something for people that don't want to take a vaccine.
So this has come out recently out of the College of Physicians and Surgeons of Ontario. The college sent out a letter or a memo to all the doctors in Ontario suggesting to them, now so far they're not mandating it, they're just suggesting it, that any of their unvaccinated patients, that they should consider that they have a mental problem and that they should be put on psychiatric medication. So far, it's just a suggestion, but the College of Physicians and Surgeons of Ontario should not be making these kinds of suggestions. This is extremely unethical, and this is a very, very slippery slope. If they're suggesting that people who wish to have bodily autonomy and don't want an experimental vaccine, that there may be something mentally wrong with them, that is a very, very dangerous slippery slope that we're on.
This is what the website of the College of Physicians and Surgeons of Ontario says. It says, quote, "It is also important that physicians work with their patients to manage anxieties related to the vaccine and not enable avoidance behavior. In cases of serious concern, responsible use of prescription medications and/or referral to psychotherapy are available options. Overall, physicians have a responsibility to allow their patients to be properly informed about vaccines and not have those anxieties empowered by an exemption." So my verdict is, wow, yes, this is in fact a true claim. This is what the College of Physicians and Surgeons of Ontario is telling doctors, that if a patient has declined the COVID-19 vaccine, they are not to, quote unquote, empower that patient with an exemption, that the declining of the vaccine is automatically labeled as an irrational anxiety. And the recourse for that in the eyes of this medical organization is prescription medications and or psychotherapy. They want to drug you,
okay,
to trick you into
right
taking
there.
The COVID
That's
vaccine.
That's Greg Reese's video. That's Liz Wheeler. She's been on the show. She's a friend of the program, and she's right. And here's the other part. This is happening in other Western countries as well. Even here in the United States, I've been hearing rumblings about this where, hey, you know, it's an irrational fear that you have. Again, the question is, I think we're asking all the wrong questions. Why are they pushing this? So, I mean, like there's no tomorrow. And I know you might say, look, we've been asking that question. It's been asked and answered, but has it really been fully answered? I don't think that most people, and I mean this sincerely, not pejoratively, but I don't think most people understand the scope, the breadth, the depth, of whatever this delivery mechanism, whatever's in this delivery mechanism, is and what it does. I believe that this is even more evil than people really understand. I don't know. I'm either having moments of clarity or alternatively, I'm just absolutely, I guess I need what Liz Wheeler just mentioned, some anti-anxiety medication. I would vote for the former as opposed to the latter. And this is in conjunction with what Canada is also doing. You know, again, gaslighting being a thing. It's always been a thing, but now it's, you know, the thing. How about Bill C-11? It's being presented as something that will protect Canadian interests and promote Canadian interests. But in reality, no, it's anything but that. This is video 5 in the show notes.
And you said that this amendment would limit discoverability to people's searches. It would limit discoverability to past discoverability versus active, correct? So you're acknowledging that the bill itself would force active discoverability. You're acknowledging that the bill would force algorithmic manipulation based from your what you shared with.
Sorry, trying to get to the button. Thank you, Chair, for the question. So there is indeed a range of tools that could be used, including proactive discoverability measures, as we've discussed the other day. You know, the bill is clear that the intention is not to empower the CRTC to, you know, request algorithm information on algorithms and prescribe prescriptive changes to them. But again, in light of the fact that, you know, we're talking about a wide array of services, the government's position is that there may be places where, yes, it's appropriate for there to be proactive promotion or showcasing of Canadian music and stories. And so the definition that's on the table, again, puts a strong emphasis on search, right? And, you know, a user using the search. Our position is that I think discoverability as it's understood in the industry is a broader concept.
There it is. Yeah. Did you get all that? Eric the Tech, did you get all that, brother?
Huh? Yeah. Yes.
Yes, that is Canada Bill C-11 up for debate. Again, we're being gaslit. So just very quickly, I really wanted to lay that foundation out at the beginning of the 20th century. And the reason it's so important is because what happened back then, setting the stage for what happened now, and then you go back to Mao, being the mass murderer he was, killing 60, I mean, the Chinese people. This is exactly what's taking place right now. Is that Twitter? Is that Jack's Twitter post? Is that the first one? Is that showing the China? I'm sorry, I'm not on my, let me see here. Hold on, folks. As I like to say, talk amongst yourselves. Hold on. Is that showing the Chinese? Where am I at here? Yeah, what's this? Put the Twitter post up. No, page 1, Jack Posobiec's Twitter post. Put that one up. Okay, all right. Thank you. I knew I wasn't going crazy. The death of this previous Chinese leader amid the white paper revolution, which is what this is being called, this pushback in China is being called this white paper revolution. These protests create a perilous situation for Xi Jinping. Okay, so if he allows public memorials for the dead later, they have the potential to be used as cover to organize large-scale demonstrations in key cities. This is how Tiananmen Square massacre began, what happened in Tiananmen Square. The reason I threw this up there in addition to everything else is because, again, the template even here in the West will be this. Whatever the protest might be will, in fact, be engaged in a massive brunt against anyone doing the protesting, especially when we look at the school board meetings and such. You see the weaponization of the DOJ and the FBI against the moms and the dads. You see anyone talking about anyone kind of protesting outside of a abortion facility, or, you know, trying to, or even more relevant, I suppose, talking against assisting in the trans movement on minors at schools. You see all this taking place. What's going to happen is this big crackdown. Again, I don't want to go too far outside of the lines here. I'm pushing down this road in the final moments of the program to tell you what is going to happen, and what is going to happen here in the West, and specifically in the United States, especially as I mentioned, with this weapon of mass asexualization, this nod, if you will, to Baal or Baphomet. The war has been declared, and now will go kinetic, especially when preachers, pastors, ministers stand up and say, no, I'm not going to do this. And then they are arrested, they're charged, they're sued. The process again becomes the punishment. They're jailed, they're incarcerated, and the system goes fully against them and all of us. With that, the injections, okay, that follow the same template. Everything is following the same MO, if you will. One last thing, and I'm not sure I've got time for this. I'll just reference this. There is an HHS whistleblower saying that the government is complicit in trafficking. Child admits being pimped by sponsor. This is a Project Veritas video. It's going to be in the show notes. It'll be labeled as video number 7. Watch that entire video in case you haven't done so already. This is part and parcel to this. This is opening up the borders. This, again, this goes back to the FDR plan. This goes back to Eugene V. Debs, that socialist platform. This goes back to the Fabian socialists. This goes back to all of this. Goes back to the goals, everything that is happening now has been set up at the beginning, I mean, at least in earnest, at the beginning of the 20th century. Again, you've got to know the history. And once you can see how that ended up, for example, with Mao, you can see where it's coming here. Because we can talk all day long about food shortages. Well, what did Mao do? He cut off this food supply. What do you think is going to happen here? We talked about the digitization of our currency. What do you think they're getting ready for? Hey, in the interest of climate control, for example, to save the earth, okay, we're not going to allow you extra gas in your car, or any gas, or meat, or whatever it might be. This is all being set up for our ultimate demise. So that's why I said, you know, make sure you dust off your weapons, because once this goes kinetic, you're going to have to defend yourself. And it's rapidly heading for that kinetic position. That's kind of the message, my message today. But it's rooted in history. This is more, I really want to make sure this is more of a historical bookmark, mark in time, to let you know where things indeed are headed. And I had so much more to get into, but I wanted to cover that that first part of the 20th century, I think it was so important. Folks, tomorrow, Steve Quayle, tomorrow, gosh, and it's going to be office to office. It's going to be a very cozy meeting tomorrow. Make sure you tune in. God bless you. Thank you so much for listening. And make sure you comment, Bridie, on Rumble. Give it thumbs up or a Rumble or whatever. And have a great day.